When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get ready for the best hour of your grid day.
You heard it here first. The best hour of your day on Sports Grid starts now with your host, Kevin Walsh.
One of the easy ones, Donnie, where you look at it and the complaint starts to be, I might not bet that for more. You know what I mean? Like,
and Donnie Wrightside.
And I would like to see all the weight and anger and might of the NCAA/Big Ten smash that program into smithereens for the next 3 years.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
We are in. We are live. It is a Walsh Tuesday here on Moneyline. Welcome in on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. The call-in number today, 844-843-6879. Same as always, just me today. Donnie, a much-deserved day off. We'll be back with you tomorrow, solo style. I hold it down for you for the next hour, so feel free to join me at 844-843-6879. You can also tweet at me, at the Kevin Walsh. As we have an hour to recap, reset, process everything that we were given yesterday from the National Football League. We'll do a quick pop-in on some of the games that are tonight. We have a great college basketball board and a light NBA card, though, that we are hoping will feature the two most recent league MVPs, Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. We will handle that, though, when the time is appropriate. Buffalo yesterday beating Pittsburgh 31-17. Their game moved, massively impacted the decision that it was not played on Sunday but Monday. 31 points by Buffalo when initially that total was supposed to be a 33.5. Again, the decision to move that game probably for the best, but obviously changed things quite drastically. But I have to start in Tampa Bay. 32-9, the Bucks beat the Philadelphia Eagles, and I understand that Tampa this morning probably feels that they're getting the short end of the stick this afternoon in terms of the coverage, because the reaction is a little bit more on the other side of the field and what happened and what went wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles. In short, everything. Jalen Hurts finishes this game 25 for 35, 250 yards passing, one touchdown, no interception. It wasn't that good. A lot of it was saved by Devonta Smith being excellent. Devonta Smith is excellent, number one level wide receiver for the Eagles, who typically is playing complement to A.J. Brown, who was out for this game. But the number that really stands out for Jalen Hurts, 1 for 5. 1 for 5, Jalen Hurts on the ground. How is that possible? In a game like this where you are shorthanded, quarterback mobility in the postseason is always expected to go up a notch. Every quarterback, that is the case. Tua was scrambling. Flacco was scrambling. We obviously saw yesterday Josh Allen break a 50-yard rushing touchdown. Mahomes on 2 carries had 40 yards. Nothing from Jalen Hurts. Nothing on the ground Is that Jalen? Is that play calling? I think it's a little A. I think it's a little B. And I think truly that's the overall feel from what we got yesterday out of the Philadelphia Eagles. A little bit of Jalen, a little bit of coaching. But here's the difference. Jalen isn't going anywhere. Jalen Hurts was paid to be this team's franchise quarterback, rightfully so. A run to the Super Bowl last year earned him every single dollar of that contract. Nick Sirianni, though, is not likely to be as fortunate as Jalen Hurts, because if you're not changing the quarterback who have this disappointing of a season, the head coach probably goes. And as a Philadelphia Eagles fan, as I'm sure you all know that I am, this decision to move on from Sirianni, it's not finalized, but it is something that I've battled with quite a bit. Nick Sirianni has been the Eagles coach for 3 seasons. They've been to the postseason all 3 years, including a trip to the Super Bowl, where the number one seed last season. The 34-17 is Nick Sirianni. That is excellent. That is phenomenal. That is a 66 win percentage. You keep that up, you get to the Hall of Fame. That's the reality of it. But this team fell apart in a way that someone is ultimately going to have to pay for. That is the reality. And I think, again, some is on Jalen. I think some is on Howie Roseman. This roster construction ultimately did not pan out. Decided to double down on an aging secondary that wasn't good enough last year and fell apart as the season went on. Shout out Jonathan Gannon, vindicated, I am sure. Got the head coaching job with Arizona, did a decent enough job with a team that a lot of people felt would end up having not just the worst record, but be one of the worst teams we've ever seen in league history. The Cardinals were not that. And a lot of people blamed what went wrong with the Eagles' defense on Jonathan Gannon. Well, Eagles' defense was 10 times better last year under Gannon's guide than the combination of Matt Patricia and Sean Desai. The offense, though, I felt at times was being lumped in with how bad the defense was. The defense was not just bad. The defense was one of the very worst in the entire NFL. It was completely unacceptable. But the offense lost its rhythm as well down the stretch. And that is something that last night Donnie mentioned as we closed out our Pro Football Today coverage. Perhaps the most damning thing that can happen for a coach is to lose a locker room. And how Sirianni simultaneously can be such a player's coach and lose this locker room is a bit beyond me, but it is hard not to feel that that is the case. The Philadelphia Eagles can't go out like this. A team that was 10-1, that people had questions on not winning the Super Bowl, okay, fine, right? That happens. Only one team wins the Super Bowl. Not making the Super Bowl. Okay, that happens. What the Philadelphia Eagles did after the 10-1 start was completely unforgivable. Drilled by the Niners at home 42-19. The type of game that said, you are not on the level of the best teams in this league. Which was hard to process, considering they were 10-1. They followed that up by getting drilled by Dallas, 33-13. I talked about it quite a bit. The Eagles didn't punt in that football game. The turnovers were bad and disastrous. Fumbles from A.J. Brown, fumbles from Jalen Hurts, as well as Devonta Smith. But, again, now it is back-to-back dominations from the teams that you are supposed to be measuring yourself up against. But maybe it was that brutal schedule. Maybe it was not fair to think the Eagles would be able to win all of these close games and then find a way. Well, then they go to Seattle, they lose 20-17. They blew a lead. And that was a part of the signal. They lose to Drew Lock. They followed up, they beat the Giants on Christmas, the final Christmas gift from this team. And again, I know it wasn't great, but on that same Christmas day, Brock Purdy threw 4 picks, and we saw the Kansas City lose to Aiden O'Connell at home. So the Eagles winning was all that mattered. And they didn't do that again the rest of the year. They lose as double-digit favorites at home to the Cardinals, and then proceed to lose by 17 to the Giants in the finale, and then last night's absolute debacle. So is it time to make a head coaching change? It appears the answer is yes, with a lot of good candidates out there. We'll talk about this and a lot more. It is Moneyline on a Tuesday. Sports Grid Radio. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159. I'm Kevin Walsh. It is Moneyline with you here. Phone number today, 844-843-6879, solo style. Again, Donnie Wrightside out. He'll be back in the saddle tomorrow, so don't you worry. DRS is not far away, never is. DRS, though, just like myself, disappointed at the result from the Philadelphia Eagles. And again, I think the most damaging thing to button this up, I won't do Philly radio for you today. That I think really plays out for Sirianni is the fact that there are a lot of quality head coach candidates out there and available, most notably, in my opinion, Mike Vrabel, who at the moment I would anticipate rejoins with A.J. Brown and becomes this team's head coach. We will see how that plays out. Do you think the Eagles should fire Sirianni? Feel free. Again, to call in and give your opinion on that at 844-843-6879. But what about Tampa Bay? What about the other side of the football? Well, the Bucs now go to Detroit. A lot of people would have anticipated probably that Tampa Bay would be going to San Francisco, but the Dallas Cowboys and their disastrous performance against the Green Bay Packers has rearranged things a bit here in the conference. Tampa Bay is a 6.5-point underdog. While that is still sizable, it is 3 points less than what the Green Bay Packers are catching in that game, so it obviously gives Bucs fans on the surface a touch more confidence. Perhaps Bucs fans would have been pleased to play the Niners for the second time. They have already played that team this season and did lose that football game. But they go to Detroit, total listed at 48.5. But I'm interested in the outright market for the conference. Minus 180 San Francisco, plus 310 on Detroit, Green Bay plus 950, and then you get a 10-1 price on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A slim gap there between Green Bay and Tampa Bay, but it is a little difficult to justify. Perhaps the books hang it and say, hey, maybe it'll force some folks to take Tampa. We're not all too worried by them, and more people are betting Green Bay right now. Green Bay's performance probably was a lot more noteworthy for people because Jordan Love looks so spectacular, and I think people respect the Cowboys a lot more than they respect, and rightfully so, by the way, the Philadelphia Eagles, right? Tampa won in dominating fashion, but beating the Eagles at home does not hold anywhere near as much weight as being the first and only team to beat Dallas in Dallas this season. But Tampa Bay, if they were able to upset the Lions, which is considered more likely than the result going to Green Bay's way, just through the odds, they would host the Green Bay Packers in that potential game. Then again, they wouldn't be much more of a dog than what Green Bay is in San Francisco, so I think that number is, again, a little bit interesting, but really, the number that I do expect to win in this market, no hot take coming from me, it's the San Francisco 49ers at minus 180. So then you go to the Super Bowl market, where the Niners are plus 175. The Niners will be favorites if they are in the Super Bowl, which, again, I absolutely expect them to be. I don't know who the damaging team would have been to the Niners. I think as this season carried on, the expectation for me was that they would be the NFC representative. Absolutely so. And losing Dallas, where, oh, maybe if the Cowboys are playing hot enough, they're due, right? If Philly was red hot, you go, ooh, maybe there's some championship-ish pedigree on that roster, right? They've been to a conference championship and won it last year against this team. But things have really lined up nicely for the Niners. So should you be betting this team at plus 175 to win the Super Bowl? You could. But you could also make the investment that I made, which was Brock Purdy, to win Super Bowl MVP. Now, I bet this at plus 450. I'm just using the FanDuel numbers that are in front of me. That number is now down to plus 370. I know there's a lot of people that are hot on Christian McCaffrey in this market. The idea that CMC is going to be the guy if there is going to be a guy from San Francisco. I disagree. Super Bowl MVP still is expected to go to the quarterback. It is why Brock is more than half the number of McCaffrey. It is also, when you line up what these two are able to do in wins this season, while CMC's games are always excellent, right? 15 total touchdowns and 135 yards per game of total offense. It is not as good as Brock Purdy's 28-2 touchdown to interception ratio in San Francisco 49ers wins this season. I mean, McCaffrey can't compete with that. Debo cannot compete with that. Ayuk, Kittle, they just can't. But it is also, in my opinion, about what you can do when you get to the game. If you fully, 100%, no shadow of a doubt, believe the Niners are going to win the Super Bowl, then forget the Super Bowl MVP market, at least right now. Then you can bet and enjoy that market when we get to the game. But if you have any hesitation about what the matchup would look like on the other side of the field, talking about the Super Bowl, whomever comes out of the AFC, that's when attacking inside the Super Bowl MVP market would make a lot more sense. And it is a lot more difficult if you are considering a hedge to work off of a McCaffrey number as opposed to working off of a Brock Purdy number, because it is still going to be heavily favored that a quarterback wins the award. That is going to be the expectation always in the market, no matter what Christian McCaffrey or Brock Purdy narratives enter the game suggest, their idea will be, and it is again at the moment reflected in the market, that Brock Purdy is going to win. But and also for myself, there is some attraction just in the gap here. Ravens plus 270 to win, Lamar plus 320. Bills plus 490 to win, Josh Allen plus 600. Mahomes 8-1, the Chiefs just 7-1. You are getting a touch better number than the Super Bowl prices, but is it enough? I don't really believe so. You're getting double the Niners' price using their quarterback. That is, again, incredibly appetizing to me. And again, that is why I jumped in and got involved. The other guy I did bet in this market had an all right day yesterday. That is James Cook. Now, this is far more long shotty. 90-1 now, James Cook. I bet him at 150-1. But here's the reality. If what Josh Allen did yesterday is going to be repeated in a Super Bowl, well, James Cook might as well not show up. Look, 79 yards and 4 receptions is great. Josh Allen with 4 total touchdowns, 282 yards of offense is always going to come away with that award. And I think yesterday's performance from Josh Allen was absolutely incredible. But unfortunately, due to Josh Allen being who Josh Allen is, as somebody that bet the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl, I worry it was almost too incredible. Well, look, 6.8 yards per pass attempt is actually not the greatest thing we've ever seen, right? It is, again, good. It is not flawless. But the worry for me, more than anything else, is the fact that we did not see an interception thrown by Josh Allen. Because Josh Allen this season, like nearly every season, throws picks. 18 of them this year. How many times do you think Josh Allen this season went out and had multiple games in a row without a pick? Well, the answer to that is what you would expect. Not once. Not a single time did Josh Allen go back-to-back games without an interception. So, what does that mean next week, hosting Kansas City? Yeah, you can probably bank on Josh throwing one to the wrong team. It just feels like you get put behind the eight ball. You know, you line up this weekend's games that'll be coming up here, and you always look for an upset. 9.5, 9.5, 6.5, 2.5 in Buffalo. We'll talk a little bit more about the divisional round here. It is a Tuesday on Moneyline. Kevin Walsh with you on SiriusXM Channel 159. We'll be right back after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Back here on a Tuesday, Moneyline, Kevin Walsh with you on SiriusXM Channel 159. Again, feel free to call in your thoughts on Wild Card Weekend, 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. The divisional round is now set. Baltimore and San Francisco, the 2-1 seeds off of a bye, 9.5-point favorites. The Packers and Texans are going to be varying levels of attractive, but I think both are going to be appetizing sides here in this game. If you look right now, again, FanDuel likes to pop up percentage of spread bets, percentage of money. It suggests that these two big numbers are driving in a lot of public wagers, but the big bets are coming on the big boys. 62% of the spread bets on Houston, but 61% of the money on Baltimore. 59% of the spread bets on Green Bay, 67% of the spread bets on San Francisco. And I can see both sides of it. We're early on. Here's, though, where spread math, I think, could suggest that backing the favorites is incredibly viable. Start with Baltimore, laying 9.5 to Houston. Houston last week caught 2.5 at home to Cleveland. What do we think home field advantage is worth in the playoffs? Is a full field goal fair? Is that fair? Because what that would suggest is that if Houston and Cleveland played in Cleveland, that line would have been 8.5. You move 3 points to the neutral, 3 points, and then into Cleveland. So that would say that Baltimore's only laying one more point than what Cleveland would have laid in last week's meeting. Now, again, probably more insight that last week's line of Cleveland being favored in Houston was ridiculous and wrong, and I think we all learned that lesson, whether we profited off of it or not, but that was the lesson learned by watching that game play out, absolutely so. But if we continue to, again, you even if you dumb that down and say home field advantage is worth 2.5 points, or even if you go and say that it is worth 2 points, right, that would be 6.5 between that if that game was ultimately being played inside Cleveland. Is Baltimore a field goal better than the Browns? I think many people would say yes to that question. So that's how we get a number this big. And then with the Niners and the Packers, this one's a little bit easier to explain. Not that necessarily the last one was hard, but this one's very straightforward. What do we think the gap is between the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys? Because that line opened up at 7.5. And now we're sitting here with a 9.5. Is the gap between the Niners and the Cowboys 2? Books have told us all season long the answer to that is yes. Now, the counter is we started with an awful number with the Green Bay and Dallas line. 7.5 down to 7, right? Maybe that line should have been 5. But, right? I don't know, right? But Dallas Cowboys right now at home, they were always going to be laying a big number. So that's how these big favorites get to these numbers. That's why they're not too surprising to see, to me, when you kind of work through the numbers. But it is not going to stop people from trusting these dogs off of those performances because, I mean, they were spectacular. Both of them. Absolutely fantastic in their respective games. And you have to wonder, is there a hot hand here, right? Now, the odds that the Niners and Ravens will be winning their games is paying out at around minus 200. That's what we're seeing right now in the market if you were to money line parlay them. It is a sturdy number, but it is not the strongest number we've ever seen, right, from 2-1 seed. So could there be an upset this week in the 1 versus 7 NFC matchup, 1 versus 4 AFC matchup? Yeah, I think we could see that. I think we could, but again, those big favorites are there for a reason because these are sides that weren't exactly being full 100% respected when we try and dial up last week's action and last week's lines, and there's just going to always remain that trust in your top seeds. When you go to that NFC, or rather Sunday slate, Detroit being a 6.5-point favorite to Tampa Bay, total in that game 48.5. It's a little interesting here. So this line has climbed, actually, heading off of the week. The Bucs on the look-ahead hypothetical were 6, catching 6 points to Detroit. They win that game 32-9, and it goes to 6.5. Detroit, the only team who won and did not cover in wildcard weekend. This is another one where you're seeing all avalanches of money on the Detroit Lions, right? If this game somehow did touch 7, though, I think I would personally have to then look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That is a lot of points for a Detroit team that at moments look great, but they would now be laying a lot. They'd be laying a lot all of a sudden. And I don't know if Detroit should be to Tampa Bay. Tampa does deserve some credit for what we saw them do against the Philadelphia Eagles. And then the last game again, Buffalo and Kansas City, 2.5-point spread, 46.5 total. What this comes down to more than anything, and it appeared for a little while, but I just don't think the books are all that interested in giving you Patrick Mahomes +3. I know it's the Chiefs. I know the Chiefs have not had themselves a bang-up season by their standards, certainly. 11-6 under the win total wasn't good enough. But Chiefs +3, all the Mahomes ATS trends as a dog will be piling out throughout the week. It might get back to 3, but it's going to continuously get hit. That's my expectation. We'll never see 3.5. Never. It's not happening. But if you were willing to pay for that, if it touched 3, it obviously would be less expensive, which I've thought about myself. How expensive would that? Let's see how expensive 3.5 is right now. Because you have a 2.5-point line, so the 3.5 is going to be out there and available. It's minus 140. Would it stun you if this game was decided by a field goal? Like, I don't feel like I have to win the game. I don't feel like, why don't you just play Moneyline? I don't know. This game being decided by a walk-off field goal was decided by a field goal when they first met, right? We've seen a number of close games between these teams throughout the years. I think that is a tempting number at minus 140. But again, how expensive would that be if this line does get back to 3? Because that's where it's going. It's not going down to 2. The 2.5 juice is at minus 120 right now. So books know that, you know, this game here is... They think Buffalo is better. They think Buffalo is better, but there's only so much they can do with those numbers. So that's where you have to be careful. I am curious to see how much weather, if at all, comes into play. You know, that is going to be, and it ultimately was something they needed to do because fans were not going to be able to get to games, and it wouldn't have been safe to play that game on that Sunday that was initially scheduled. But, man, did the Buffalo Bills game getting moved change some things. You know, you talk about early backers, people who banged that total. That was a total that opened up at 43. Folks bet that number and watched it drop 10 points in their favor. That line got down 33.5, 9.5, you want to be exact. And they ended up then having to see that game get moved the next day. Now, I was somebody who was tempted on betting an over on that incredibly low number that was going to be posted in the snow. It doesn't mean the game couldn't have been able to get over, but the people who were positioned on the under, I don't think would have took that position had you told them the game was going to be played in somewhat windy conditions, no snow to be found on the field, considering that the Pittsburgh Steelers defense was pretty bad this year and was bad with TJ Watt, much less without one of the very best defensive players the NFL has seen in the last decade. So that is just a situation where, and it is, you know, the odds makers, when a game changes a venue, right, they will void all wagers. Well, that's probably one where they saw that game was moved and that was party time in the room, right? Ultimately, there's also a lot of people that grabbed Pittsburgh plus the points because it's going to be hard to cover that big of a number in those conditions. Well, 14-point win for Buffalo. Again, I would imagine that that all broke out really, really well for the odds makers. The area it upset me a little bit is twofold. Again, I'm a little bothered that Josh Allen didn't throw a pick. I know that sounds crazy, but as somebody who bet them to win the Super Bowl, I would have rathered the opportunity he throw one against Pittsburgh so he would not throw one next week when they play Kansas City. It's probably not great that I think him throwing a pick is such a foregone conclusion as is, but history says what history says. But it is also my wagers that I took on Dallas and Detroit to be the highest scoring teams, thinking about the advantage that was had by AFC teams or having to play outside and NFC teams all playing indoors. Well, again, things just broke right here for Buffalo. They hung 31 points and should be the favorite in that market. Quick break coming up. We'll come back, look at some playoff specials here. A lot of juice. We'll break it down on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here, Moneyline on a Tuesday. Kevin Walsh with you, Sirius XM, channel 159. The phone number to call in is 844-843-6879. We're going to talk some playoff leaders. Markets resetting after wild card weekend. Dak threw for 403, eliminated. Stafford, 367, eliminated. Baker, 337, 6-point dog. 307 from Joe Flacco, eliminated. Goff rounds out the top five, 277, the new favorite to lead the NFL in passing yards. Where's the value? We will answer that after we pick up the phone, 844-843-6879. Joining us on Moneyline now, the legend himself, the X-Man. Talk to me.
Two NHL, one college basketball. One NBA.
All right.
Washington Capitals, Calgary Flames on the money line. Baylor Bears on the money line.
Okay.
Oklahoma City Thunder on the money line. 15-1.
There it is. Locked in. Feeling good. 15-1 from the X-Men. Not much more you can ask for there, people. Not much more you can ask for. Mentions the Baylor Bears. College slate tonight's interesting. I'll boogie over there in a second. I want to button up some of this playoff leaders. Appreciate X-Men again. 844-843-6879 if you would like to call in. Goff is the favorite at plus 170. Purdy is second at plus 360. Mahomes plus 480. Josh Allen plus 360. Baker is 7-1. 16-1 or more, then it's Jordan Love and Lamar. 18-1 CJ Stroud. 150 on Dak. That is a waste of money. That is not going to happen. So just ignore that price. So Goff at 170 actually doesn't interest me enough. I'll tell you why. Goff is obviously favored in Bay this weekend, but Goff will not be favored to beat the San Francisco 49ers, which would cap Goff out at three games. Brock Purdy would then play three games and would have the opportunity to beat him. You could counter that and say, well, what if Brock Purdy loses? Then Goff would be able to play Jordan Love, who he at the moment has the same amount of passing yards as. Absolutely true. But at that point then, if the Packers get there, are we? What would that take from Jordan Love? I just don't know if I'm all the way there on Goff. I think you may rather, honestly, grab some Lions to win the Super Bowl at that point there. Like, there's going to have to be a bit of a run that comes from this team. Or you take Amon-Ra plus 170 to lead the playoffs in receiving yards. That is, for me, a more tempting option right now when we kind of go through what this slate has here. Because if you look at the receiving leaders, Amon-Ra St. Brown, while he's not in first place, Puka Nacua, 181, eliminated. Romeo Doubs, 151. Obviously, that is well above what the typical Romeo Doubs expectations are. Devonta Smith at 148 is eliminated. Rashee Rice is at 130, but the Chiefs are a dog this weekend, and that is also, I would say, pretty well above the head of what you typically anticipate from a Rashee Rice. And then at 110, CeeDee Lamb gone, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and the last guy at 100 is Michael Gallup at 103. So if you like Goff, you have to be at that point then expecting big things, I feel at least, out of Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he would be a little bit of a more attractive option at plus 170. So the passing yard, again, Brock is a bit tempting to me at his number at plus 360. If you have a definitive answer for Mahomes versus Allen, I think those guys are also very interesting. They would be getting a third game. I'm sure that if you're a Chiefs backer, you think they could beat Baltimore. If you're a Bills backer, you think they can beat Baltimore. So that would open up the potential for a fourth game. That's interesting, just betting those two guys in Mahomes and Allen. Three games could be enough. Three games could be enough, and you're obviously going to be getting a third game. I don't hate that move, leaving Brock Purdy out of it. Figuring Lamar won't go wild. And if Lamar's eliminated by C.J. Stroud, you know, C.J. had this perfect football game nearly, but what C.J. Stroud did not have was as many yards as you would have thought. He only had 274, right? Josh trails that by 71. Mahomes trails that by only 12. And, of course, you would see the favorite in that football game be Buffalo or Kansas City if the upset was pulled, activating that fourth game. Need the weather. That's going to be big. But once we get the weather, I think we're going to have to make some considerations on Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes in that market. I'm going to get to tonight's slate. I wanted to bring up just one more thing to keep your eyes on because it's really interesting. Most playoff receiving touchdowns, Sam LaPorta is 9-1, same as Brandon Ayuk. Rashee Rice, 10-1, he caught a touchdown, so did LaPorta. Amon-Ra, 10-1, he didn't catch a touchdown. Kittle hasn't even played yet, 12-1. Nico Collins, 14-1. Diggs, 18-1, didn't catch one. Kincaid did, 18-1, same number as Debo Samuel, hasn't played yet. You might be hearing this, man, a lot of big numbers out there. The favorite in the market is Jake Ferguson at plus 210. The eliminated Jake Ferguson is the favorite at plus 210. He has three. Last postseason was led by Travis Kelce with four. So it is not a guarantee that any player necessarily needs to get themselves well above it. You would think they would. Dalton Schultz last year, funny enough, was the second man with three. Nobody else had more than two in all of last postseason. Year prior, 2021, Cooper Kupp, his incredible season, had 6. Gabe Davis had 5 due to that wild shootout with the Chiefs. 3 for Kelce Hill as well. Tyreek Hill on Kansas City. And Byron Pringle gets the 2021 postseason shout-out. And then just go back one more to the 2020 postseason. Was actually Travis Kelce the leader with 3? And if you go through it, nobody else had more than that. Gronk had 2, AB had 2, Mike Evans had 2, a bunch of guys had 2, actually. 11 different guys, 10 or 11 different guys had 2. So Jake Ferguson could very well not play another game and be there. I think odds would suggest that you'll go into the Super Bowl tied. Is that possible? Or I'm saying as a worst case. I don't know. Does Rashee Rice have a 2-touchdown game in him next week? He might. Does Sam Laporta have a 2-touchdown game in him? He's interesting. He's rightfully the second man at 9-1. How about some of these Niners? How about Isaiah Likely 25-1? Where do these guys all start to factor in? Mike Evans is 4-1. Could Mike Evans have a huge game next week, even in a loss? Problem is he needs 3 if you don't think they can win. It's a very, very tricky market. Really interested in it. Haven't found a guy yet, but it is going to be one, I think, for us to continue to break down here across Moneyline, Game Time Decisions, where I will see you tonight, 6 p.m. right here on Sports Grid and Pro Football Today this weekend with Joe Lisi and Donnie Wrightside. We'll be in the mix as always. Let's talk a little bit about tonight and what's being offered up. The NBA only has 3 games, and one of them is unfortunately very frustrating at the moment. Philly is a 1.5-point favorite, total 233.5. The Sixers are playing the Nuggets, and that should be a game with nothing but excitement and wonder as to who is going to be out there and available between Jokic and Embiid and who's going to be able to step up. But instead, basically the entire Denver Nuggets lineup looks questionable, and it's a back-to-back, so we don't know if Embiid is going to play. And I am actually not attacking this from, I think a lot of people get very frustrated, and I get it, I do, with the NFL, the NBA, and the lack of availability with some of their superstars. My frustration, though, first of all, don't book Philly-Denver on a back-to-back. That is a marquee matchup for this league. I mean, it just is. It is Jokic and Embiid is the last 2 players to win league MVP. Who play the same position. Don't book it on a back-to-back. Like, I understand that people say, well, why can't Embiid just play? Look, man, Embiid is about to eliminate himself from the MVP race because of this limit that they put on. Joel Embiid right now, if the season ended today, would win MVP, but he's 8-1 to win it because he's probably not going to meet the games requirement. That games requirement thing is one of the stupidest ideas this league ever had. They completely unaware as to what is going on in their own league. Has it helped at all? Are you out there, the fan, getting more out of your stars because of it? You're not. The Phoenix Suns haven't played their guys more. No, because the Suns guys are just consistently and always injured. Embiid is injured again. LeBron, when he's available, he's playing. When he's not, he's not. You are not getting, and LeBron's, you know, a whole different story being his age and his years into it. But the point is, you're getting nothing out of this. The issue is at these back-to-backs, they are not beneficial. We all know it to be true. So if we have to have them, we have to have them. And you saw the NBA with the in-season tournament that they wanted to be effective. None of those games were played on the second leg of a back-to-back. None of them, because they know the problem. And they book Philly-Denver on the second leg of a back-to-back. But why it's frustrating for me is I have a 3-game NBA slate, and it's hard for me to dive in and give you guys picks and analysis that I want to. Because I don't like wasting my time, and I'm sure you don't either. You know, when can we cap this game confidently? The books are posting props, Embiid 33.5, Jokic 25.5. But if we find out that they're not playing, the whole thing's different and ruined. So it's frustrating. It's frustrating. And it leads me to talk a little bit more about the college game. There's a college that tips at 5 that I'm interested in tonight. That would be Florida-Tennessee. SEC has been great this year, been a lot of fun to watch. The Vols are at the moment sitting 6th in the country. They lost at Mississippi State. It was a light number, so it probably could be forgiven. They then nearly, though, lost at Georgia. That would have been far more damning for the Tennessee Volunteers had they lost that game in consecutive fashion. But I am not a real believer in Tennessee. I know that KenPom shines on them favorably, and I like KenPom. And look, KenPom shines favorably on some teams that I have futures on. Auburn, Wisconsin, Alabama. So that's not a knock. But this team step up spot against Purdue, nothing. Kansas, the offense, disgraceful. North Carolina ran them out. They did have the Illinois win. They had an early season win against my Wisconsin Badgers, who I'm, again, backing in the market. But I've not been impressed. Ole Miss fraudulent. People knew that. They laid a big number. I think Florida's good. I think they're a little bit better than the 11-5 record suggests. And I think this is a spot where they can hang inside a double-digit number on the road in SEC play. That's going to be something I get involved in here tonight on the college basketball board. We will close out Moneyline with another college basketball pick for you as we are with you on SiriusXM, channel 159. Kevin Walsh, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're closing it out here, Tuesday style. Kevin Walsh with a few. A little solo shot. DRS usually handles this type of deal. But again, my man's getting a much, much deserved day off. He's been grinding. He's been doing great stuff. We've been live on Pro Football Today, Saturdays and Sundays. We will be again live this Saturday at 10 a.m. And then this Sunday at 9 a.m. Little reverse start times there. Just kind of adjusting to the postseason schedule and some of those weekend start times. But we will be with you this weekend, myself, Donnie, and Joe Lisi. Donnie will have you back here tomorrow handled on Moneyline. So look forward to that. But I'm going to give you guys a little sneak peek of what could very well end up being my best bet tonight on the college basketball board. It is a player prop. And it's Indiana's Khalil Ware over 13.5 points. Where is an NBA level talent likely to be selected somewhere inside the top 20 of this upcoming NBA draft? The sophomore decided to come back to Hoosierville and see what he could do this year. And he's had a lot of good games. He's had a lot of nice performances, but he has struggled against the upper echelon of college basketball. Indiana this season has played games with what I would label elite opponents. Okay. UConn, Auburn, and Kansas. In those games, Ware is shooting 23% from the field, 7 of 30 shooting, averaging 11.7 points per game. So you might hear this and be like, oh, it's under tonight. I know they're matched up with Purdue. No, I'm going the other way, actually. For me, Khalil Ware, I do believe in the talent, I believe in the player. And I think he's had a number of opportunities to have big performances against top teams. He's just not been able to break out from the efficiency angle. But I think he can tonight against Purdue. Purdue's a top offense in the country. There's going to be a number of possessions there for Khalil Ware. And they're sneaky, not as good as an Auburn or a Kansas on the defensive side. Ware has been playing much better as we've gotten into Big Ten play. I think he continues that tonight with an over 13.5. He wants some more. I'll see you on Game Time Decisions starting at 6. Up next, Scott Farrell, Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.